Baseball's All-Star Game is tonight. It's the halfway point in a season that's been surprisingly good for the Red Sox.
And we're checking in on the world of sports with Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hey, Bill.
Hello, Anthony.
So the All-Star Game is tonight. It's the best of the best playing in a game that really doesn't mean that much. Right?
What do you mean? Well, home field advantage for the World Series.
Right. The winner gets home field advantage for the World Series, but come on, really?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a gimmick. It was a gimmick designed to crank up interest in the All-Star Game. Some gimmicks are good. This one is silly. There's no relationship between who wins the All-Star Game and whoever might win the opportunity to go to the World Series from each league. So it's silly.
Okay, well, what about the game itself, Bill? It's played differently than a regular season game?
Well, a lot of things are different. For one thing, the second baseman and the shortstop may not be acquainted with one another, so you're unlikely to see flashy double plays. and, of course, a pitcher could have a no-hitter going for two innings, and he would be removed from the game anyway because nobody pitches for more than a couple of innings in the All-Star game. Some only pitch for one inning just because managers of the teams for which these players normally play don't like to see them worn out in the All-Star game. So there are a lot of things that are different.
So given that, who is your pick to win this year?
Anybody who picks the winner in the All-Star game is either a gambling addict who can't see any contest transpiring without being compelled to pick a winner, or somebody who's willing to go out on a much, much smaller limb than one on which I'm willing to go out.
Okay, listen, I feel like we've really bashed the All-Star game here, and I think it's my responsibility to say something in favor of the All-Star game, okay, in the interest of journalistic balance. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Wait a minute. No, I had it.
It's
I
gone.
Had it. It's gone. All right. Never
what about
mind.
The chance to see stars on the field?
There you go.
There you go.
Well done, Magna. All right, moving on. Here's what it is. The All-Star Game offers a mid-season chance to check in on the state of the Red Sox,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
They've got three players in New York for the game tonight, and beyond that, they're in first place, best record in the American League. Now, Bill, for the longest time, this was a chance for Red Sox fans to say, well, you know, it's inevitable. They'll collapse in the second part of the season. Do you still believe that?
Well, first of all, I need to make a slight correction. The Red Sox have two players in New York because the third member of the team who made the All-Star team is Clay Buchholz, and he's apparently not
in
shape to pitch. But yeah, sure, this is a great team. They're in the process of going last to first, and you can't argue with that particular movement. It's good to see.
Mm. They've been playing really well this season, defying a lot of expectations. Stalwarts like Ortiz and Pedroia playing well. New names like Nava and Iglesias. What surprises you most about their success this season?
The clear evidence that Bobby Valentine had no idea what he was getting himself into a year ago. John Farrell, as manager, is to me the greatest surprise. He's managed to take a team that was characterized primarily by a dysfunctional attitude in the clubhouse and turn it into a team that has won more games than any other team in either league. So an exceptional job of leadership.
Well, it'll be fun to watch in the weeks ahead.
Well, moving on, Forbes magazine this week released a list of the most valuable teams in professional sports, that is, financially valuable. The New England Patriots are ranked number 6 and the Red Sox at number 11. Not a shabby showing for a Boston team.
No, and to some extent we're talking, when we're doing this sort of exercise that Forbes does, we're talking about comparing apples and oranges. It's not really fair to compare baseball teams to football teams, and in a minute you're going to bring up a soccer team and that's when it really gets unfair.
Okay, so the soccer teams being out of the top 3, we have Real Madrid at number 1 and Barcelona at number 3.
Right. Because soccer is the world game, these are teams that have enormous marketing opportunities all over the world. So that David Beckham sells shirts not only in England when he plays for Manchester United and in Spain when he plays for Real Madrid and in the United States when he plays for the Galaxy, but in China and in Japan and in Malaysia, no matter who he plays for. And so his employer is bound to be up there with some of the strongest franchises in terms of financial value.
And you don't think that the Patriots will change that no matter how many games the NFL plays in the UK?
I think they're a long way from changing that. Of course there are football fans around the world, just as there are basketball fans around the world. But soccer still is the game that entrances more people around the world than any other.
And Bill, two interesting points about Real Madrid and Barcelona. Like the Green Bay Packers, they're teams that are owned by their fans.
Yeah, that probably has something to do with it as well. Large numbers of people tend to make perhaps wiser financial decisions than single megalomaniacs.
The wisdom of the football crowd.
Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game, which you can hear every Saturday right here on WBUR at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. And he joins us every week to talk sports. Thanks, Bill.
My pleasure, Anthony. Thank you.
Hey, and by the way, if you want to tell me and Anthony all the reasons why you should be excited about the All-Star Game, do it on Twitter. Follow us at Radio Boston. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.